Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio on this Tuesday, January the 2nd, 2025. It's a new year. And unfortunately, the past 24 hours, we have seen a terrorist attack in New Orleans, as well as another one in Las Vegas. I wanted to get my very good friend, Dr. Jeffrey Atticott from St. Mary's University, an expert in international terrorism, to come on the show and chat with us and tell us what his thoughts are about this situation that we are facing, particularly in light of the past 2 years, the open border that we have, because in fiscal year 2021 and through fiscal year 2023, 250 people on the terrorist watch list were allowed into the United States. That we know of. Heaven only knows how many came in and we don't know anything about. So Dr. Atticott, welcome to the show. What are your thoughts about this attack in New Orleans and also what happened in Las Vegas?
Well, there's several lessons here, obviously, and I think one of the important ones is the need and the greater need for our FBI, our Department of Justice, to remain focused on the real threat. For the last 4 years, we've all been told by the Biden administration that the real threat is right-wing extremists or, you know, parents that don't like their kids to be taught woke ideas in school, or, you know, Catholics praying near abortion centers. Those are all right-wing terrorists. No, it's always been radical Islamic extremists that are the number one terror threat in this country and across the world. And that is a very poisonous tree, has a lot of branches on it. ISIS is a branch, Al-Qaeda is a branch, Hezbollah is a branch, Hamas is a branch. And so it's a continuing threat. So my first thought is that we have really hit the slumber button on the alarm clock for the last 4 years under the Biden administration. And this threat has caught a lot of people by surprise. But again, this individual is motivated, and he tells us. I mean, when people tell you this is what motivates me to kill my fellow human beings, I'm a member of ISIS, well, you know, that's why they're many of these commentators, we can't understand why they would do this, because they want to kill you. And again, radical Islamic extremists, they've killed more Muslims than Christians or Jews. So this is not a question of, you know, Muslims versus Christians or et cetera, et cetera. It's a question, it's a fact that we have these individuals amongst us that their goal is to kill anyone that does not believe in their version of Islam.
Now, the situation that I see here is that there should be concern about the support for these homegrown terrorists by foreign terrorist groups like ISIS, as well as we should be kind of worried about who's entered the country over the past 4 years with the open border that we have, and the support for those foreign agents that have come in that we don't know about where they are and where the who they are.
Well, I agree. I agree with the FBI director Ray that all the lights are flashing, and so I would have suspected that the next radical Islamic extremist attack would be somebody that came across the border, and that attack is still going to come. There's no question in my military mind that that will happen. We've got hundreds of people on the terror watch list that we know of that have crossed the border, and we don't even know how many have not crossed the border, have not been detected that have crossed the border. It's a clear and present danger, and it's really a matter of two things. One, prevention, and the other one, of course, is we've got to find better ways to close down the Hitler youth camps that indoctrinate these people. Now, I've talked to radical Islamic extremists in Guantanamo Bay, and, you know, as a lawyer, we want to negotiate, hey, what do you guys want? What can we bargain with and make you go away? And their answer is, we want to kill you. That doesn't leave us with a counteroffer. You know, what's your counteroffer to that? So, in the long term, we've got to do a better job, but we also have the issue in our country of the freedom of speech. I mean, First Amendment, which I fully support. So you can say bizarre things like, I love Osama bin Laden, or I love al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS. I hate America. That's all freedom of speech. But where there's smoke, there's fire. Because what is unlawful is to plan for violence, to engage in violence. And somebody, back to your point, knew that this guy was talking these radical types of talking points in his community. And whether they tipped off the FBI or not, we don't know. But somebody certainly knew that this guy was a candidate to engage in this type of mass murder.
Now, we've had a situation. We had some folks talk about it on our show not too long ago about a Muslim radical in Chicago who attacked a Jewish person who was on their way to synagogue. We've also had a group of people last night, in fact, cheering in New York City, cheering the attack in New Orleans. We have a lot of folks who are celebrating and looking for attacking us and destroying us.
Well, you're right, George. I mean, we saw the same thing in the wake of the Hamas massacre of innocent Jewish people on October the 7th. We have, you know, people here in this country that were waving Hamas flags, celebrating the murder of fellow human beings for no other reason than the fact that they're Jewish. So yes, hate is alive, evil is alive in the world, and you know, many of these people, of course, don't know what they're talking about. They're misguided. They don't really know what Hamas is when they're out there doing these protests. And when you try to confront them with the truth, they say, well, you're engaging in disinformation, it never happened. So yes, we're always wrestling with that issue of you know, freedom of speech versus people that want to advocate violence. It's a never-ending journey. I mean, when will this stuff stop? Never. It's just like crime in the streets. It never stops. So we have to do a better job of, one, recognizing that radical Islamic extremism is the number one terror threat, not right-wing extremists, not left-wing extremists, not criminal nut jobs that go into schools or theaters and kill people, because terrorism is a tactic. When I hear people on the media, they go, oh, the terrorists did it. That's meaningless. You know, it's a tactic. I want to know who is the terrorist that's doing these things so we can try to stop them. And that who, in the case of New Orleans, is radical Islamic extremist. In the case of Las Vegas, that appears to be a Trump hater. And these people also, you know, they're engaging in terror, but they're not motivated by radical Islam. They're motivated by a irrational hatred of Donald Trump, our next president.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that Las Vegas situation, because that individual doesn't seem to fit the profile of an international terrorist. That guy just seems to be a nut job.
Yeah, and see, that's what terror is a tactic. So this guy, you know, is one of those individuals that uses terror as a tactic, but the largest threat is still radical Islam. It's not right-wing extremists. This guy was a criminal nut job, obviously, but another, just as a side note, he was a Green Beret, Special Forces, Master Sergeant. And the fact that he didn't know how to set off an explosive device that would do what he wanted to do is kind of depressing from a, you know, I have a military background. I was in special ops for, you know, many, many years. I was a senior legal advisor to all the Green Berets. And this knucklehead, you know, it speaks not very well about our training. And perhaps he was involved in too many DEI classes and too many woke classes in the military under the Biden administration to figure out how to do, you know, basic military skills. I'm saying that with tongue in cheek, because, you know, thank goodness he's the only one that died, as he so richly deserved.
Yeah, the situation. Let me ask you this in conclusion: the situation that we've got with the atmosphere right now of DEI, the wokeism, the whole idea of diversity, that we have to respect everybody's ideology and everybody else's point of view, except anything that's pro-American. Do you think that this type of atmosphere is going to allow these people to proliferate and to flourish a little bit more?
Well, just anecdotally, I think with the election of President Trump, where you have a Republican that wins the national vote and a landslide the Electoral College, I think the American people are tired of being spoon-fed disinformation. We saw that with the COVID stuff. We've seen it with DEI. I personally do not believe that the United States of America is inherently racist. I reject their premise. And therefore, if you reject that premise, then I reject all the other nonsense. And I think many organizations and businesses are coming to see that. I believe in the words of Martin Luther King, to judge people not on the basis of their skin or their sexual orientation or whatever, it's just based on your character. I mean, that's America to me. It's not America where you engage in discrimination, because you can't cure discrimination by discriminating. And that's what this has all been about the last 4 years. And as a as someone that tries to, embrace the American ideas that are enshrined in our Bill of Rights and pass it on to our younger generation, that's what made us a great country. Yeah, we've got our faults and our warts, but we're all family. And it's very distressing to see people in this country that have benefited greatly from this country hating their own country. That, to me, that's a head scratcher. And that involves both of these two terror attacks. They basically hate this country.
You got it. Makes sense, buddy. Makes sense. Folks, we've been, anything else before I let you go that you would like to add, Dr. Attica?
Well, not to blow my own horn, but I wrote a book a few years ago called Radical Islam Why. And if you're wondering what motivates these individuals that engage in radical Islamic extremist behavior, that's a good book. It's thin, short, readable, and not very expensive. So I'm not making any money off it, but it's a good, it's a good resource.
And I have read it, folks, and I guarantee it is excellent. Very easy to read, and, well, to a certain degree, it scares you. Once again, my friends, we want to thank my good buddy, Dr. Jeffrey Attica from St. Mary's University. And, Dr. Attica, thank you very, very much. We've got to get you back on again soon, and we probably will, because, sadly, there may be another event, something like this, again soon.
Thank you, George.
Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio.